You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is episode 308 of the IT in the D Show. Guests this week include Steve Gora from Blue Chip. We haven't had a recruiter on in a while, so we're going to be talking about what's hot in the IT job market here in Metro Detroit. And also one of our favorites, Vittoria. Steve's our favorite too, but Vittoria Katansky's in the house. Hatch Detroit, the contest is coming up. She's going to talk about how to submit, all the good stuff about the program, and how to get involved. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Everything was that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm. Storm. Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
This is the ladies' man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. What the hell did I do?
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the IT and the D Show. We've made it all the way up to episode 308, broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in Studio One in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy. That's Dave the Geek. And a very, very happy birthday to our very own Randy Walker.
Thank you.
That you do, you're doing the Twitters today on your birthday. We appreciate you. Happy birthday. He deserves it. You could have went out and drank tiki cocktails anywhere, but you decided to do the Twitters here with us.
Lost River's closed on Mondays.
I don't care. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate you. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you will find all the things. Oh, you got a Lost River tattoo? It's not a White Claw tattoo, but it'll do.
So what do we got? We got free podcast day, August 10th. Hit podcastdetroit.com, pick a time slot, do your thing, check it out. We have our Ann Arbor event that is the 6th.
Yep.
And where's that one going to be?
We'll be at the Pretzel Bell downstairs at the bar.
Where they have, I feel like, really?
Yeah.
Didn't we just talk about having pretzels and bells?
We haven't done that event yet, so we'll be talking about it.
It's one of the best. Honestly, I'm going to throw that out there. It's one of the best basement bars in this whole entire region. It's pretty cool there. And then August 15th, we're going to have a special announcement. It might be coming tonight. Otherwise, you'll hear about it tomorrow or the next day. We're figuring out where to go.
We'll get it. Well, it'll be there when it gets there.
Indeed. So I had a hell of a weekend, Dave.
Oh, don't even.
Oh, no. So, you know, there's always like RoboCop 2 or something I got to watch. And it's, you know, it was on Cinemax and I was getting error messages, right? And basically, I'm like, what's going on? All my Cinemax have been gone all weekend. So,
when I told you, I had a similar experience. I think it was Saturday morning. I wake up and I'm flipping through channels. I'd just gotten done getting my nieces and nephews hammered, you know, post funeral and all that nonsense. And I see that there's like Meatballs or whatever the hell it is on Cinemax. And I go to turn it on. And well, come on. I got no Meatballs.
It says try again.
Yeah.
So I Google it like any good tech guy would do. And what does it say? Comcast dropped Cinemax. So I reset the software on my set-top box, and now it says subscribe. $12.99 a month.
Wait.
To get Cinemax back, and my bill hasn't changed.
So I no longer have access to all of Shannon Tweed's greatest hits.
No. No more 1 in the morning David Duchovny specials.
No more Red Shoe Diaries?
So I decide I'm going to call support. And what do I find out?
What? Pray tell, what did Comcast have to say?
So actually, for the first time I've spoke, it was actually a really human being. It goes, Eggman, every one of my calls is pretty much this. And let me just tell you something. AT&T owns Cinemax, owns Time Warner, and they decided to put the screws to us, and Comcast basically said, screw you, and we're not going to carry it anymore. Or if you want it, you can pay $12.99. I'm like, but I'm paying, you didn't drop my rates.
Like, yeah, that was part of the...
Right.
Like, so that's, like, let's... I'm the guy that's had this conversation with Comcast at least every 6 months. Where I'm like, all right, look, you're raising my rates. What the hell are you raising my rates for? They're like, well, you know, if you want to drop... Actually, I'm like, no. I am not the guy.
I bought every channel.
I'm the guy that will call you every 45 days going, hey, I read about a new channel online. Why don't I have it yet?
Well, I'm the guy that's been paying for Red Zone all summer, and I'm like, shit, football season is even on. I'm like, got to look at my bill more. But so here's the thing. I'm not mad at Comcast. I'm not mad at AT&T like UVerse. You know what I'm mad at? This is something that the government didn't let happen in the 80s, where all these content these service providers were buying content providers. So now what you have is Comcast owning NBC Universal.
Right.
You have AT&T owning Time Warner.
Wait, Bob.
What? For monopolies, yeah.
That's
I never was against it. I never for monopolies and unfair business practice all day. So here's where I'm sitting. So AT&T owns HBO as well.
Uh huh.
So now here we are sitting in. I'm paying
because we just talked about this 2 weeks ago that the new service is called HBO Max.
Right. Right. So here I am spending $222 a month for 4 HD set-top boxes with 2 DVRs, and I'm not getting – and now they're basically – I got to go buy YouTube. I got to go buy Hulu. I got to go buy Netflix. I got to go buy Spotify. And you know what? They can all eat my ass. I think I'm done with all of them. I'm pulling the plug.
In similar news, Dish Network is currently not carrying the Fox Sports affiliates because of contract negotiations.
Dish Network just lost a million subscribers because they suck.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, they got to do something. They just lost a million subscribers when they raised their rates.
I didn't – how much did the rate – for to lose a million subscribers, that's a lot. How many – what did the price go up to? What? You can talk.
I heard it was $4, but I don't know.
There's no way a million people dropped it over $4.
Bob, have you listened to yourself for the last 3 minutes?
Yes.
You did over 14.
They want me to pay $12.99 more for
13,
I mean,
sorry.
Listen, Cinemax has been with me since I've been a wee lad, since maybe 13 years old. He always had HBO and Cinemax. That was part of the cable experience. I know I'm an old man, and I know that – you know, everyone's unplugged already. Am I like the last one that still buys cable TV and shit? Like, I feel like I am.
I don't have it.
No one I know has it, except Dave, and Dave's old like me.
Yeah, I have an antenna and then the subscriptions.
We were talking about it today at work. I think I'm going to just do Sling or like HBO. Like, seriously.
You can get Sling through Roku. Which
right.
All the TVs that I have in my house are Rokus.
Right.
But here's the problem, Bob. So I did the math. Like, literally, if I drop, like if tomorrow I decide I'm dropping the boxes off that I have, there's still two left in my house. If I drop those off at Comcast and say, you know what, I'm dropping cable, but I still need to keep my internet where it is, the price goes up anyway.
It's going to be what, 100 and something?
Because now it's not a bundle.
Right.
Because you're getting the triple play for the phone number you never use.
No, never. Phone never got delivered to me.
Yeah, but it's still there. So that's a thing. But speaking of this, so thankfully, I'm going to grab my phone. I want to make sure I get these numbers right. So the kids are out of school, and this was the beauty of the kids being out of school. So, you know, they have that whole, you know, you get a terabyte of data, and how could you ever – in a million years, ever go over a terabyte of data.
Terabyte of data, what? Download?
Yeah.
Your stream, yeah.
However,
I don't think like...
Dude, I wish I... So currently, like they showed me where it was for the past few months. And it was like, hey, you're at 600 gigs. Hey... you're at 800 gigs. Dude, like every device in my house is streaming.
Yeah, yeah. Likewise with mine.
Ever. So as of yesterday, I am at 1,284 gigs for the month of July. I am at 1.3 terabytes of data streamed. Thanks, kids, being out of school. And yeah, that's amazing. Thankfully, Comcast does have courtesy overages. That you get to like go nuts for 3 months.
I was gonna say 3 times, and then
the 73 senior citizens on your block that only watch Dr. Phil and Oprah all day.
Yeah.
You know they don't. Yeah, you think you just okay? Yeah, whatever.
It all averages out.
Bandwidth caps are garbage. But clarification earlier, it was DirecTV that lost a million subscribers.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I said.
Not Dish.
No, I said DirecTV. Yeah. Oh, whatever. That's the same shit.
Yeah.
Different.
Wait, one of them's owned by AT&T, though, right?
DirecTV.
DirecTV is owned by, yeah.
Okay.
That's all. So, got a little mind blown
Bob, you forgot, but they're replacing it with something of equal value. They're replacing it with the Hits channel, Bob.
The Shits channel?
Yeah.
Listen, I looked through the Shits channel. It basically opens up an app like Netflix, and there's 284 movies. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's 384. And, like, the newest movie I saw was, like, Easy Money to School.
Which you've watched 9 times so far.
No, I just watched it once. But it opens up an app. It's not even like, what the hell is this shit? Like, you can't just let me play it. You have to make me open, like, that's what the guy tried. He's going, we replaced it with a Hits channel. I go, really?
But it's not a channel.
Really? It's all the leftover shit Netflix didn't want. Really?
Right.
But most of the movies on Cinemax are also on HBO, so Hits is a greater value.
Shut up, Randy.
That's what Comcast says.
Skeptical. Yeah, I was thinking I was going to be like Eddie in Christmas Vacation. I want Michelle Gilbert to come out of her pearly white house, march her butt down in our studios, and explain to me why I got to pay $12.99 for my goddamn Cinemax.
And I'm sorry, but my pain in the ass is MDOT, who has decided in their infinite wisdom that they are yet again closing 696 between Mount Road and 94 heading east because they didn't just have that closed for an entire year. I don't know what the hell they're doing to it, but yeah, my drive home tonight's going to suck. Or more to the point, my Uber home tonight.
Nobody cares about your drive home, Dave.
Well, I'm just saying, you do, but no one else does.
It's a pain in the
ass. Why you got to keep closing major highways?
Go down 8 Mile like normal people.
Somebody go further.
I don't know. All I know is I watched probably one of the most horrific documentaries I've ever seen in my life.
No, it's one of the best. It's one of the scariest documentaries.
No, it wasn't Faces of Death. And no, it wasn't about my food poisoning this weekend. If you haven't seen it, it's called The Great Hack.
Yep.
And really it boiled down. They got two insiders, the former CEO and the former director of business development of Cambridge Analytica. And it talked about basically talked about how the data they took. So there's a gentleman also that jumped in the fray and is suing Cambridge Analytica. He's just a normal Joe.
So he's a guy here in the U.S.
Right, and he wants
to
know.
Literally had to hire lawyers in England because that's where CA's parent company is in order to make this work.
But all he wanted to know was, okay, what's the data points you have on me and who are you selling it to? Of only his. He didn't want to know anything else. So then this thing all comes out on how they manipulate behavior, on how they've taken credit for elections locally and nationally. And what they did, this was mind-blowing to me. So what they did is they didn't take the people that are staunch liberal or staunch conservative.
They never targeted me, I assure you.
They never – I don't think they targeted me either. But, I mean, they talked – what was the word that was targeted? Or it was
psychological warfare?
No. The word, it was like the mediums.
Persuadables.
Persuadables, thank you.
Yeah.
And what they did was they would find out who the persuadables were, and every one of those personality tests that you took on Facebook modeled
Which
you.
Which is like the worst cheesy Cinemax knockoff of The Expendables that I've ever heard of.
Right. But these people would do these personality profiles. So then basically they took these personality profiles, mixed it in with
5,000 data points.
Right.
So for
then they would get bombarded.
So let's take a step back. This is part of that whole Facebook opened up access to Cambridge Analytica, which basically took all of your data, all of your likes. And in case you weren't paying attention, even if you're the one that took the stupid Facebook quiz, and this is why I yell at everyone who does one of those stupid
– I don't do them ever again because of you.
What kind of bagel would I be? Because not only does that open up – not only did they get all of your information, they got all of your friends' information.
Every one of your friends that went down the line.
Every single one of them. And so
– So all the people that did the old man face, old lady face, ripped all your friends' shit down too.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of going back, they would take these persuadables, and whoever would buy their service, they would bombard them with basically anything related to any of their social accounts trying to persuade them to a certain party.
And they talked about how they did this in 11 countries around the world, basically test markets to prove what they could do, whether it was Indonesia or Nigeria or Trinidad Tobago. And they basically proved out we can target those people with messaging that will do exactly what they want them to do. Like, the Trinidad Tobago thing was basically they targeted, the younger population to just stay home, that voting – makes you fit, that's supporting the government in general, and voting is stupid and yada, yada, yada. So what happened? The old guard won that election. And it was, and they showed, all these videos of all the young people that were doing their own, promotion of their campaigns, which then moved into Brexit, which then moved into the Trump campaign.
Well,
and I know we don't want to get political, but, it's what they literally showed how they took, 78,000 votes. It was 78,000 votes that won that election. And what they showed was how they specifically targeted those persuadables, not only by state,
but by precinct in that state.
Oh, they broke it down.
Dude, that whole crooked Hillary, that entire meme, that entire concept was created by Cambridge Analytica, which, oh, by the way, was founded by the guy from Breitbart, in case you didn't know that.
Oh, Bannon was, yeah, Bannon was part of it.
So, he put, holy shit,
well,
snacks.
It started with Ted Cruz winning Iowa, who had no business, like, so he wasn't even on the map.
That was their, so that was their first trial run for the Republican Party here in the United States. They took Ted Cruz from 10th on the list to the guy who just barely lost out to Trump.
So I have an interesting point, and they were the bomb that they dropped was at this point in our lives, data has surpassed oil in its value.
Yep.
And I was like, my jaw just dropped. I was like,
honestly,
what?
The bombshell in that to me was they were being held legally culpable for conducting crimes of war against the European population for what they did with the Brexit vote, because that's how the British government classified. It's literally psychological warfare. That's literally what it's classified as, and that's what they're being tried on. That's what those charges are related to. So you look at what – and so like that was the thing. Is that,
well, then the girl that was behind it, they thought like –
which I feel no sympathy for.
No, somewhere.
They like, tried so hard. She tried so hard to paint herself as a sympathetic figure. No, because – and she finally by the end realized, and she even said it, there were so many meetings along the way. Like she's listening to recordings of herself in meetings laughing about fixing Brexit, laughing about getting Trump elected, laughing about all this shit. And she's like, yeah, I really should have walked out years ago.
And
okay, that's great.
Then they show somewhere in Thailand where she's like in a hot tub.
Right. Yeah, in an infinity pool at some uber swanky resort in Thailand.
Right.
Yeah, I feel for you. Really, I do.
You know, my along the way I was kind of thinking, I was trying to be objective, right? While I'm watching it and my jaws just dropped. I'm like – what's it? Is it like is it that easy to sway an election where you're buying ads on Facebook? Like, is it come to that as a society?
So, and that, dude, like that was the big revelation is that, dude, the British Parliament flat out said, with this kind of technology in motion, it is physically impossible for us to have a fair and impartial election process. Because I mean, and I'm sorry,
it's is it different? So explain to me, like, this is a thought I had. Maybe I'm way out in left field or stupid. How is it different from, like, Budweiser spending $40 million during the Super Bowl to sway us to buy Bud Light? I'm just curious. Like, it's targeted marketing and advertising. Is it not, or am I wrong?
I don't believe that TV has the same impact that social media does. And so, like, that was part of it, that whole thing about Facebook where they've basically taken all of the lessons learned from casinos and gamification and psych ops and that kind of stuff, and turned it into a dopamine trigger for people. And we've talked about this a million times.
It's getting a like.
So like that was part of that whole, you know, what they did with those targeted ads and what they did with, you know, God, what was it? They said the Clinton campaign ran 66,000 media ads compared to that Trump campaign through Cambridge Analytica that ran 11 million. Like that's insane to me. You know, and so, you know, and you look at where those targeted buys went, and I'm sorry that it does, and we've said this a million times, it comes down to those are the people that are voting. Like if you're like, and I do, because I look at how many people still to this day, well, Trump did this. Oh, yeah, well, crooked Hillary. Well, guess what? That was a phrase created by a company that was designed to manipulate your intelligence and manipulate your thoughts, and you've completely fallen prey to it. Now I think even less of you.
You go through any election cycle, everyone grabs three talking points, and that's all they use. Like if you talk to anyone, the educated voter is very rare. You get the 85% in the middle that use like three talking points, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We all do it.
I get it, for the
most part.
But I mean that's the issue is it was the specific targeting of those, you know, persuadables that, dude, I mean you think about how many votes are cast in a national election and 78,000 were the result. And you've got video footage of those guys with Trump celebrating the victory because they were of sending, what they did.
Then they showed the emails going, we did it. And I was like, wait, we did it. Like that, like advertising firms don't take credit for like sales jumps. That's why. So like in my mind, I'm thinking of it as targeted advertising, what Cambridge Analytica did.
Right.
And maybe I shouldn't have. But like ad firms never go like, we did it. Like if Jeep's number one or – you know, Remy Martin's the best-selling cognac. I don't – brandy. I mean, sorry. But you know what I mean?
It's – dude, it's
bizarre. If you haven't watched it, though, The Great Hack, like it's mind-blowing.
If you seriously want to get freaked out about how much of your data is – and that's the thing. They talk – and because that's one of the things they talk about is it's all the data we voluntarily –
we gave it to them. Yeah.
You know, but it's then – okay, what is it? What is it then being used for? And so they do. They talk about, you know, all the movements that are going on now to allow people to, like, basically take control of their data. But, you know, it, like, on some level –
it's too late, dude.
It's so, like, the genie out of – it's like Napster. Genie's out of the bottle. But, like, my whole thing is, okay, great. So Cambridge Analytica is shut down. Who else is now out there doing this that we just don't know about? Like, who's that company that's operating in the shadows – That we just don't know who they are.
Because that was the thing. Like, nobody knew who Cambridge Analytica – that was the whole – there was an oh shit moment where I think what – did Zuckerberg spill the beans? Like, yeah. Where all of a sudden in one day there was like 63,000 articles posted about, yep, Cambridge Analytica. And then like the old CEO was like, oh shit, we're out. Like, nobody knew who we were.
The COO.
The COO. Yeah.
Was the guy they were talking to.
And there was like, yeah, oh yeah, that day we're like, oh shit.
Yeah. You know. They were like, oh yeah. I loved his quote that there was, you know, based on the technology and the way things are moving, there was always going to be a Cambridge Analytica. It was just my shit luck that it was Cambridge Analytica.
Right. Well, there's 10 behind them.
So, like, that's my point. You know there are other companies out there.
You bust the drug dealer, there's 10 behind them. Yep. Like, you know, it's
– but no, just from an eye-opening – just from an eye-opening perspective of just pay attention to what – because, I mean, it is. It's that whole – it preys upon – we've talked about it a million times. 70% of people don't read beyond the headline. That headline agrees with what I think. Share. Done. And it creates that echo chamber effect. And so like,
but it isn't just – dude, it isn't just – in my opinion, it's not just doing the stupid what garlic bread are you. It's – you look – go to activity.google.com right now. It's showing everywhere you've been. They know every purchase you've made. Like – this goes way beyond me hitting like on the Jägermeister page on Facebook, dude. Like we willingly give them our lives. Mm-hmm. They know everything I've bought. They know everything. Amazon comes to the house. I don't pay cash for shit anymore. Who does? You do, but I don't. We're all willing participants in this freaking wicked game.
I think unknowing. Participants. No, we all know. Now we're willing.
We all know.
I don't think everybody knows.
Don't track me, but don't take away my GPS. We've been arguing about that for years.
Those people who are taking those tests have no idea until you told me about what those meant. You don't realize it because you're not you guys that have that information. I stopped 100%. I want to know what kind of crazy bread I am. I do.
Extra cheese.
You're I think zesty. I'm zesty with extra cheese. Zesty, yes. But, you know, I mean, I do want to know, but I will not try. Although I have a question, IT related. What about I heard about the technology that is able to put a person's, face on, it makes it look as though deep they're face. Actually saying, yes.
So, yeah, we talked about that a while ago. So, that's the next crazy thing that's going to be hitting probably this election cycle. Is so deep. It used to be. Do you remember the old movie Rising Sun with Wesley Snipes and Sean Connery, and how like they basically faked videos and all that kind of stuff and made people disappear? We're at that point where that can be done in real time with software you can download off the internet,
and like anyone can do it.
And I can make I could take a video of Donald Trump, make a couple tweaks, and have it say whatever I wanted to say, and you would never know that it's not him saying it. And so, like, that's the world we live in now.
But are they not making any restrictions or laws or anything to prevent that?
Don't comprehend it. No, did you watch the Zuckerberg trial with Congress?
I did.
Those clowns don't know what the internet is, let alone know what
tubes.
Yeah. How do you make money, Mr. Zucker? Like what? Like sell
selling
ads.
Your data.
Data. Yeah. exactly.
And then selling them at. And that, dude, that was the crazy thing, dude. The ad spend. It's like, and that was, you know, honestly, one of the fascinating parts to me was like the whole Mueller investigation. And, you know, basically it's the $126 million that Russian companies spent via Cambridge Analytica to push these articles and that kind of stuff. That's what he was going after. Well, he wasn't going after Trump.
Dave, did you hear the stats on why they did the Facebook spend more than any other spend?
Because that's where everybody goes.
Because the engagement was like triple versus any other way they could ever buy. So it wasn't necessarily.
To me, that's why it's different from Budweiser blowing dollars on a Super Bowl ad. We've laughed about that forever. Dude, you want to spend $4 million? I got a million ways you can spend $4 million better than a friggin' Super Bowl ad.
But do you think it's because of the demographic that's a Facebook person? Because they are of an older group that are traditionally much more engaged. And so when you're spending money on people who are used to voting, who are used to fighting for things, and they think that they trust this platform as a new platform, they possibly are the best target. My mom is the best target for this, although she didn't believe any of it.
No, entirely possible. Awesome. But that's like I said. I mean, that's the issue: is that people don't fact check, they don't read, they don't pay attention to shit other than that aligns with what I think. Share it and get it out there.
Because it aligns with my narrative.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own little, you know, and we all see it. How many people have blocked? Hey, we got like 300 cool articles this week.
We gotta talk about this one.
That's fine.
Dude, the kid, I sat my 9-year-old son down last night and said, okay, John, I'm going to need you to step up your game a little bit. Because you're spending all this time playing Fortnite, and yet you are not this 16-year-old kid from Pennsylvania that just won $3 million playing Fortnite.
Million.
16 years old. Won $3 million playing Fortnite in their world tournament.
What do you have to do? Just kill
people. Wow. Like that's and the article was phenomenal. They even talked about basically he's he just sits there and hides behind shit and he's a sniper. And just sits there and kills people.
Oh, I hate snipers.
He's that guy.
Oh.
And he won $3 million.
On Battlefield, I used to always come behind him and hit him with the electric paddles, the defibrillators, whatever. You're going to make fun of me for mispronouncing it. That was my favorite thing ever to do in Battlefield. There is a couple weird ones. We just hit on it. We talked about regulation, Sprint and T-Mobile.
Yeah. $26 billion merger?
Well, nobody knows T-Mobile's Deutsche Telekom.
Yeah,
the damn Krauts. They brought in their Aldis, they brought in their Trader Joe's, and now they brought in their T-Mobiles.
Well, I mean, Sprint's SoftBank from Japan, so.
Is it?
Yeah.
Since when?
Forever.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm stupid.
And for the love – so, dude, this Equifax story. So we've talked about it like a bajillion times, the whole Equifax breach that happened that – and it was – let's be real. It wasn't even a breach. They sold our data to people that they weren't verifying, and basically all of our data went all over the
planet. And it was a company we didn't buy anything from.
Right. The quote-unquote breach happened, and they probably owe everybody on the planet, or at least in the United States, $125. But
– at least.
But here's the best part to me. So you have to go to this website where you put in the last six of your SOCH and your birth date, and then it goes, yep, you were breached. So – and then they said – But here's the thing. If you have the database of everyone who was breached, then you know who you should just be sending $125 to.
You have to prove,
why
Dave,
I gotta go to your website.
You gotta go to the website and you have to prove you just bought a credit reporting tool. They're not just giving you $125. That's why this whole thing's bullshit.
Credit Karma's free.
Kiss my ass.
Credit Karma's bullshit.
Kiss my ass.
It counts.
A guy on our team just came to me today and he goes, so I went, I clicked on this link, and I entered my information to Equifax, and they said I was breached. And I go, wait, a company that was quote-unquote breached, you put your information in. And he goes, well, yeah. And he goes, either I get $125 or I get 6 months credit monitoring for. He goes, what should I do? And I go, why the hell would you put your information in there in the first place? Right? No?
No.
I agree with you. I'm not doing it. I don't give a shit. Keep
that
your
sounds
money.
Like a, sounds
but so,
like a
so that's the part to me is that if you don't do it, then they're not paying out the $125. And so then there's no penalty. That's my whole point. You want to make this be a thing that hits them. You got to send that money out automatically.
Well, it's like the letters you get. Like, did you buy Chewy's gum from 1987 to 1989? Do you ever?
Have you had any encounters with a human being between 1997 and 2014?
Do you have the receipt?
Could be entitled to a huge cash settlement.
Do you have the receipt from that Farmer Jack where you bought that Chewy's gum? And we can give you a 79 cent on a class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of
class action lawsuits,
79 cent gum. I don't know. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Steve Gora from Blue Chip. We're going to be talking about the IT talent market in Metro Detroit. This is the IT in the D show.
Back in a few.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip/Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment two, episode 308 of the one and only IT in the D show. Broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, it's my birthday.
Woo!
I'll do what I want.
Woo!
You can't make me do the Twitters.
Woo!
Find us online.
I'm still doing the Twitters.
ITinTheD.com where you will find all the things. Hey, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. But the problem growing businesses have that keeps them from knowing their numbers is their hodgepodge of business systems. They have one system for accounting, another one for sales, another one for inventory, and so on. It's just a big, inefficient mess, taking up too much time and too many resources, and that hurts the bottom line. So we want to introduce to you NetSuite by Oracle. It is the business management software that handles every aspect of your businesses in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting orders in HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. Do us a favor right now. NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits at netsuite.com/ITinTheD. That's netsuite.com/ITinTheD to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. NetSuite.com/ITinTheD.
I'm so old. NetSuite to me is still Netscape's server suite.
It was NetSuite's been around as long as I've. I remember using NetSuite in like 04, 05.
Yep.
Cloud based, I'll take it all day. Get all your stuff on one page. Bring it. But hey, we are joined by an old friend of ours, one of the original attendees of the IT and the D events back when he was like 12 years old. Now he's a 24-year-old executive. Steve Gore, Blue Chip Talent. Sir, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yes, I'm all grown up. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Got myself a wife, a couple kids. So,
you're shaving now?
Yeah. Learned how to do that.
Every 4 or 5 days.
No, didn't we meet you like in 07, 08? Mm-hmm. Like, has it been that long?
It was
right
back at the Blackfin when the Blackfin was still open.
And still awesome.
Yeah, still awesome. That was it.
Or it was awesome for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But you've been at the forefront of the talent game, at least on the IT front, since then. We haven't had a recruiter on in a while, and we kind of wanted to, the old joke was, .NET, Java, but like there's got to be something else. We wanted to bring in kind of talking about the market today.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that. And obviously, I've known you guys for way too long. And if any time little bit of a speech to get you in IT. They said that 1.5 million jobs, technical roles, are going to go unfilled this year. That's a lot of jobs. We need technical talent. So we need folks in college doing it now.
Not in college learning how to code.
Learning how to code. I don't care if it's boot camps. I don't care if it's on your own, whatever. We need people that can do it because the hottest jobs right now are development. Even the technical, the managerial jobs, they want people who were technical in the past. So some of our hottest stuff now is DevOps. Everybody's been hearing about that, but it's automating things, but it's all scripting. It's everything. ServiceNow developers, Salesforce administrators, ServiceNow administrators.
I didn't realize
AWS.
Like me being at United Shore now learning how many Salesforce developers they have. It's insane.
And they need them. They need more.
Oh, my God, yes.
So everybody's trying to optimize all the tools that they have.
It's all about the workflow.
Yes. It is pretty crazy. We actually went to a conference last fall. It was TechServe Alliance, and they said that IT is the only industry, like in the entire U.S. history, that's ever been stifled by lack of supply.
Well, so we always talk about
literally not growing at the rate that it's supposed to be because of lack of supply.
Oh yeah, security.
Yeah,
negative unemployment.
Right.
Which means
underemployment? I always say it wrong.
It is underemployment.
Negative unemployment.
Right.
Because there are people holding down multiple jobs and there are still so many friggin' jobs available.
Back in my old days of econ in college, they said healthy unemployment's like 2-3%. In these roles, I bet we're closer to 1, if that. So that means if United Shore hires somebody, they're stealing them from somebody else.
Oh, and that's, well, how many times have we heard this? Like, that was when. Like, you know, we did the pink slip party starting back in 2009, and that was like late 2012 into 2013 where we started hearing, it's not so much that the people can't find jobs, it's that the recruiters can't find talent. And I think you were one of the people that always said, hey, my ideal candidate is sitting in a chair someplace else. I got to figure out how to poach him.
100%.
If you look at my situation, they hired me because I was a cultural fit. It had nothing to do with technical talent. They didn't even care. Like they are bringing people in that are not technical. This is how it's gotten with the talent lack.
Dude, I've said it a million times. Like to me, it's always been like building a fish tank. Like dude, if you can fit in, like personality wise and culture wise, and that, dude, I can teach you tech all day long. That's a no brainer. Like I can teach you the skills I need you to have, but I need you to be able to fit in with the team to do it.
Yeah.
A few years ago, companies went offshore route, H-1B route of having – and even in that, that's a problem in itself. H-1Bs are becoming more and more difficult to get. It's called an RFE, request for evidence. It's becoming more and more expensive, and companies don't want to take the risk. And nor that, the folks that – I'm talking educated people that we need in our country to do this work. They're not even willing to move because they don't want to mess up with their visa their process, status, whatever. And we actually had even TN visas. TN visas used to be the easiest thing to do in the world. Those are the NAFTA between Mexico or Canada, where folks can come over from Windsor or from Canada that had these degrees. We actually had she was a Java architect. She worked for us for 5 years, literally went to go get her TN. They go, you have an engineering degree, not an IT degree, and canceled their TN. She literally had to quit her job.
Wow.
5 years. So mind you, this is what we want. We need this talent.
I have two guys on my team that travel in from Windsor every day. Yeah.
It's not what it used to be anymore. And so we got to be careful of that. But that makes the industry that much tighter and the reason why we need that much more talent.
And that's, we look at this whole big picture and like, what I mean, if you look at like, Scrum Master, did that just come out of the woodwork? Is that being like a sought after? Because I'm hearing everyone I talk to now, every recruiter, we need Scrum Masters. Like, I know that just got born out of like agile methodology.
Yeah.
But no, like,
I mean, it's a new hot, the new hot buzzword. I mean, it was, XML, it was, Java Architect, it was, Scrum Master. With the rise of agile, you've seen that term more and more. I mean, that's just the new thing that's going to save everyone is.
I had lunch with someone today. She just got promoted in the company. Her title is Agile Evangelist. Mm-hmm. And they're basically flying her all around, speaking the gospel and trying to recruit talent. That's how much badly mm-hmm. they need people.
Well, it goes in – project management has been shifted almost as much as development has.
True.
And so – yes, it used to be. I remember PMP being the biggest thing.
Yep.
If you weren't PMP certified, you were. It didn't matter. And now it's PMP doesn't matter as much anymore.
Did Scrum replace the PMP? I'm just questioning you.
Well, no. Now, well, they're certified Scrum Master. No, and now so there's safe certification.
Yep. So you.
Yeah.
So you had. So they, and that's one of the big shifts. Like you were saying earlier, as more and more like getting into that DevOps blended world. It used to be that project managers were business-only people. And it was, you know, they went through their PMP, they lived and died by the PMBOK, and it was like, this is how you run a program according to the business. Well, finally, businesses figured out, hey, business and technology don't always align when it comes to that stuff. And at the end of the day, we need the technology to win in order to support the business. So we want technical PMs. That was the rise of that term. So then the technical PM started to basically counterpart the business-only PM that was usually PMP certified. Then you had, we don't really need that additional cost of the business-only PM because the technical PM is actually doing this stuff. So then you had that. Then you had that technical PM rising into more and more managerial roles. And so, I mean, the Scrum Master is just that next, it's the developer who's solid with Agile or the PM that's solid with Agile that understands how to coordinate and organize and run those teams.
100%. Yes, absolutely. And that's the challenge. Technical people typically want to stay technical. They don't want to go to that Scrum.
I was vacillating.
Well, there's a guy on my team that was probably the smartest technical guy on the floor. They put him into a basically my role, and he's like, he lasted I think a month, and he's like, get me out of this. I want to have my hands dirty.
Code is binary. Work, yeah. Not work.
Yeah.
Code never calls in sick. Code doesn't have feelings. It's much easier to be strictly tech.
Well, yeah. But I mean, to be fair, managerial roles are actually a learned trait, and it's not very simple to just go from coding to just suddenly being a manager.
No, 100%. But if you've got somebody who's a developer who then becomes a tech lead, who then becomes an architect, who then, you know, that's as long
doesn't
as
mean he has a social skills to.
Well, but so if you're a tech lead, you should be having developers report to you. If you're an architect, you should be having tech leads and developers report up through you. You know, so you should have some of them. Now, granted, it's a little bit different. Like, I've been told for 15 years now, like, my strongest asset is not my tech skills. It's my ability to talk server room and server room. Like, I can make geeks understand why business needs things
boardroom, done. Boardroom, Dave.
Boardroom and server room. I can make geeks understand why the business has to have things done. I can make the business understand why the internet doesn't work that way. You know, so I mean, like, that's the whole, like, and that's, you need, and so, like, that's what that one guy you were just talking about, Bob, didn't have. He didn't have that business side or that business.
Didn't want to have it.
And that's okay.
Same reason I don't like coding.
That's totally fine.
Right. I don't see coding. Yeah. So, I mean, it's for everyone. So, I mean, but I'm still seeing, we just hired a couple network engineers. I mean, I don't think the Cisco stuff is dying anytime soon.
Oh, infrastructure is not dying at all. I think I've been saying this on your show for the past probably 6 years. Companies are investing in infrastructure more than ever. Now with AWS, Google Suite, all these things, they're going to the cloud. They are spending a lot of money moving their databases and their infrastructure to the cloud.
Well, you're seeing cloud architects now. You know, you're seeing the stack getting basically dropped, doing, you know, doing software defined mm-hmm. networking, doing hyperconverged infrastructure, right? You're not seeing I'm a server guy, I'm a storage guy. Now you're just seeing infrastructure. You know, we have ours, core apps, infrastructure, client-facing apps, right? That's how our IT department is defined. And you're seeing that. I think it wasn't like that 8 years ago.
Yes, right? 100%. Companies are looking for people who not only have a depth and breadth, but they know – I'm sorry, I should say that. Was that mile wide and inch deep type of thing versus a mile, you know, inch wide and mile deep? They need folks to have – knowledge and what they're doing and be cross-functional, how it interacts in other departments in their company. They can't just have it be – you can't just be a Windows Server guy anymore. You have to know how it all works, how the sausage is made, per se.
Right, right, right. Awesome. So how many openings do you have right now? Do you even know?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, between we always laugh when companies ask us for full stack Java. We're like, okay, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to get them here? What are you going to do to get DevOps people? What are you going to do to get Salesforce and ServiceNow folks? We have to be more creative than you used to be in the past, with just salary's not it anymore. Companies are looking at other things. I don't care if it's flex time, working remote. We have to be thinking outside the box. And if you're not willing to do those things, that's okay. You're just not going to fill
just
your position.
Just understand that you're limiting the pool.
100%. And so when clients call us now, I tell our salespeople this. I tell our clients this. Literally, when they call me, I go, you and everybody else needs these folks. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do different? You can't keep adding on to the checklist of a job description of what you need to put this in there. You're telling me someone that's programmed for X amount of time can't learn your framework, can't learn
right.
your front end tool, can't learn Node.js. You're telling me it's impossible. And the answer is, well, no, we just don't have time for it. So my question to them always is, so how long are you willing to wait to find this person? So
it's time versus money. That's always the, yep.
So we're constantly in this. However, the good news is companies are hiring. They're hiring entry-level folks. We're seeing stuff. We hired some folks out of Grand Circus. I know you guys have had them in the past. Yep. The market is good for IT. And if it's one of those things, if you could plant a tree 10 years ago, what would you do? You know, you go be an IT person.
Grow apples?
Grow apples, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I like it. So how do we find you online to check and see if there's anything that's fit?
Yeah, check us out at Blue Chip. I think it's bctalent.com.
That's your email, yeah.
That's our website, and we're always posting new stuff out there. Find us on Facebook for Blue Chip Talent. We're on Twitter. We have Zach Ruby is our IT guy, or I should say our social media guy. He does an excellent job of keeping us posted on LinkedIn, Instagram, everything pretty much. We're doing videos everywhere, so check us out.
Awesome. Steve, always a pleasure having you in. Good seeing you. Hopefully we'll see you at the next meetup. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. Victoria Katansky, Hatch Detroit. This is the IT in the D show.
We'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 308, the one and only IT and the D show, broadcasting live on Randy's birthday in Studio One here in Podcast Aww. Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy. It's my birthday. I'm trying to think of something funny to say.
The birthday.
How about Stolat, Randy? Stolat.
He's not Polish.
Well, you still wish him.
Find us
more years.
Online, itandthed.com. You want to know why? Because we are IT and the D, and
y'all and, still aren't.
Yeah, and I heard some stories this week, and it made me laugh. I have to tell you offline.
Oh, beautiful.
I did. Hey, you know what? Speaking of Steve's conversation earlier, you have a ton of choices, whether or not you want to get a CIS degree, a business infotech degree, or graphics design. You can do it all in one place locally and for a low-cost, Schoolcraft College. If you haven't been there, check them out. Do us a favor. Hit schoolcraft.edu/CIS. to check out all the awesome programs they have and their low tuitions. Check them out, schoolcraft.edu/CIS.
Cool spot.
Yeah, they're great people too. Well, we are joined, speaking of great people, by one of our favorite people. Victoria Katansky's in the house from Hatch Detroit. It is always a pleasure seeing you. And we're happy you didn't lose your keys this time.
no climbing down an elevator.
So
down.
8 years ago.
That was not that long. We've only been doing this 6 years. That was not that long ago. How are you? Good to see you.
Good to see you. It's always a pleasure to be on here. Thank you, guys.
So Hatch is coming around again.
It is. We are accepting applications through July 31st.
Well, for those not in the know, I know we know you very well, but for those that don't understand how kind of awesome this program is and how it's kind of leaped a few really awesome local businesses. Let's give a little history.
43 awesome businesses.
Well, let's give a little history on what it is, and let's talk about some of the past recipients and what they're doing today.
Absolutely. So Hatch Detroit, we're a nonprofit, and one of the programs that we have is the Comerica Hatch Detroit Contest. And this year, usually we had awarded people a $50,000 prize, and this year Comerica kind of understood the dynamic of opening a small business. Yes. And how things have changed since 2011.
And real estate prices have gone up double.
Yes.
Triple.
Yeah.
Quadruple.
So in an effort to still maintain a world for these independent retailers, we've really worked hard, and they've said yes to giving us a $100,000 prize for awesome. The person this year.
That's insane.
I know. It's totally amazing.
Yay.
It's going to make my life a little bit easier, too. It's hard to open help a business open.
Oh, right. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, 50 grand's amazing, but it's, you know, it's also very limiting.
Well, 50 grand was amazing when a liquor license was $10,000, but from 2011 till 2018,
$95,000.
Wow.
So when you're looking at the costs and, you know, construction costs are up at least 20%, the time that it takes you to get somebody to build out. So all those factors come in a way that require more money at the forefront. And so that's where Comerica Bank came in and decided to give us a little extra cash.
So name drop. I mean, we have some of our favorites. But so,
Your favorites? You tell me. You tell me yours. I'll tell
we
you
We like
mine.
Batch. We like Batch, Sister Pie.
Sister Pie are two of the ones we always go to.
Never visit me. I live right around the corner from Sister Pie.
Oh, did not Sorry. Know.
You never call us anyway.
I do.
There was a few. There was a few that I really liked that never made it. Like the, I believe it was the Toy House or what was their
name? Oh, I loved him, Spielhouse Toys.
Yeah. Yeah, because of my name. Yeah, that's why I liked him.
I know. Well, they didn't make it. They made it to the top 10. So
right.
let's. Can we go back?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I can
of course.
Explain because I forget we get into this together. So what we're doing is we're launching a contest with to basically identify 10 businesses that will open up to the city of Detroit, Hamtramck, or Highland Park. And the grand prize is $100,000 from Comerica Bank. And then basically that winner also will be getting pro bono services in the form of legal engineering. So Honigman gives us legal services. Giffels Webster gives us engineering support. Hamilton Anderson, architectural support. I've spent, we spend as an organization for like over 4,500 hours of direct contact with them, not to talk about the extra stuff we do to help them open right. up when they're not even in our doors. And we basically, what we do is we announce 10 businesses to the city that then go to a public vote. And the benefit of that is just the name recognition and the excitement around potential businesses to open. Those businesses go down to four. Those four businesses are then
the hatch off.
Yes, chosen at the hatch off. And the winner gets the prize. But what we do with the top 10, once you're in our fold, you become one of our alumni, and we work as hard as you will allow us to help you open.
Well, and you get more and more and more submissions every year. Like just getting down to 10, like I remember these conversations with you, it's harder and harder to get down to 10 because of the increasing number of applicants.
And this year is exceptional. However, you know, I don't want to discourage people from being a part of it because even though the applications are, there is a lot of them, we do give feedback to every single one that asks for that feedback. So if you are one of 550 applicants, you can schedule a half-hour appointment with us, and you know we will give you very specific feedback on where you need to go and where you should be going to open your business moving forward. So it's still a benefit. We're one of the only people, like organizations, that actually give that direct feedback, I believe, like one-on-one.
Right.
And it's helped people to come through the doors 1 year and get in the top 10 the next or win the next.
Well, and that's like, I remember like every year we've had the final four on our show. There hasn't been a single year where we didn't know who was going to wind up winning by the end of that show.
We should do that. We talk about this all the time.
I know, just because.
You guys should punch some weird, you should put together your weird IT data-y things and come up with a winner.
It's a smell
isn't
test.
Isn't that what it's called? IT data-y
No, it's
thing?
Not rocket science. There's people that walk in here and they put their foot down. They know their
Sister Pie.
Yeah.
She was the one
on of it.
Those four that knew her business inside and out, backwards and forwards.
There was
every plan in
her
the world.
Personality. Yep. Her.
No, but there was no hemming and hawing.
Nothing.
They were on the ball. They were very. Not only the passion, like you could see in their eyes, but they had conviction about the business that they were about to embark on.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that's actually the most important part of winning is having that passion. So we really want to make sure people ask what makes a winner. And seeing that passion is one of those things. So understanding your business is important, but really wanting to be in the business.
If the eyes right. don't light,
like incredibly important.
If the eyes don't light up, it's a sniff test. That's the first Absolutely. Sniff test. If you don't like, if you don't wake up and eat, sleep, and you know.
So in Lisa from Sister Pie's example, I mean, her business opens every morning very early at, I'm going to say 7 o'clock, and I should look to make sure on the website that that's but in right. fact true. Yeah. But the line at least is there at 7 o'clock a.m. She's actually in that business, and her people are starting to work at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's so a you, bakery,
you,
yeah.
To get up and work at 4 in the morning, you have to have passion every day.
And a little bit of insanity.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But it's transformed, you know, a corner of the city. You know, she's been an amazing asset to the organization. So has Amina. You've met Amina yeah. from Live Cycle Delight, who's just around the corner from her. And, I mean, I got to say, like, you know, she starts her classes at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there's nothing more... Like, it makes me very excited to be able to have that in my neighborhood. And she's an amazing asset to the West Village community.
So I guess, like, just for people that are, like, thinking about, you know, because there's 2 days left, what kind of businesses, like, tend to make it through? Or, like, what's eye-catching? What, like, what sets them above and helps them get to the top 10?
So, unlike a lot of contests, we don't require a full business planning method. So really what sets you apart is your ability to really talk about what it is that you want from this business. So like Bob talked about the passion, the gleam in the eye. We can't see the gleam at that point in the process, but we offer many, many ways for that to come through the paper and through your attachments and things like that. So what we really want to see is somebody that's not just – oh, I don't like my current job. I really don't, you know.
I'm going to quit my day job. I want to open a bar.
Yeah, that's not it. But it's the passion of a Steven from Batch Brewing yeah. Company that's like, beer's so great. And every moment he's like loving beer. And yeah. he's just beer chants and fun, you know, beer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we want to see through the paper. It's also really the budget on this, and we've really worked hard to understand what can make a small business succeed in the city, and that's one of the reasons we went back and asked for an additional amount of money from Comerica was that we were looking at the budgets, and it just doesn't work with what the costs and the rising costs are.
For sure.
So we – and, you know, and also, to be fair, we also want people who need the money. So, you know – we're not one of those organizations that just because you want to open a business in the city, we're going to give you $100,000 and your dad's a millionaire, but he doesn't want to give you a right. trust fund until you're 47 years old.
Right.
We're looking for people who can't save that money and that really do have the passion, the product, the expertise, the history to open a strong business that's going to change their own communities.
Well, and so and I think that's part of it is how much of it comes down to filling a niche or a need within the city. Because, I mean, you guys are all within the city.
Well, adding on that, if you look there's a food, not drain, but places are closing.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many places opened up in restaurants and whatnot, and you're seeing them all kind of dropping slowly, but they're dropping.
Well, I mean, sure, that's going to happen anywhere, and that happens with any business. 50% of small businesses close within a year, and then the percentages, you know,
right.
from there. But I think the difference with our businesses, first they go through the contest itself. So unlike many of those businesses, they have the ability to be product tested or at least concept tested with the public. We have, you know, the numbers of votes. We have 400,000 votes yeah. that happen. So it really the name recognition is out there. The marketing appeal for a small business that they get without a lot of money is incredibly helpful. We hear that from all of our businesses that go through. Also, I think that the passion makes you stay open. I mean, often, you know, our businesses choose not to take a paycheck for so many years. And somebody who's going to not really have any passion is just there for the paycheck will never make the sacrifices that it takes to actually be a successful independent retailer.
True.
But we're not just food based. However, our food products that come through our doors, as well as like our partners' doors, like at Food Lab and everything, mm-hmm. there's a certain amount of just love for the city and for what they do. So their product is top notch. You mentioned Sister Pie, Food Lab grad, Hatch Detroit alumni. We have Norma G, who's Food Lab Hatch Detroit alumni. They go through a series of places in the city that make them a lot more successful, nonprofits that support their work. And I also have to say that, you know, when you look at what's happening in the food world in the city from just like the generic world, we were like all, ooh, burgers are in. And then all pizza's now in. And, you know, what's
not
the next?
Have another pizza joint open.
Didn't Giordano's just close down?
Yeah.
Giordano's nobody wanted Giordano's in the city of Detroit. We wanted to go to Chicago.
Yeah. I never had one instance.
Well, nobody wanted to wait 45 minutes to an hour and a half for a pizza.
No, you go to Pizza Poplar's, you want that kind of pizza. What's wrong with that?
But yeah. that's exactly the thing. And thank you for mentioning that. So Giordano's did close down, but that's not our business. Our business is a small, independent person that is a destination business to the city of Detroit. Whereas, like, people that want to have the chain restaurants, it's a cliche that not really the clientele that come to the businesses that go through us
you
are
mean
part of.
Sister Pie patrons don't go to iHopplebee's? No. I'm shocked. Color me shocked.
I actually want to have some of our business. I mean, like, the lines out the doors are insane. There was never a line at Giordano's. I don't even think there's one there in Chicago.
Yeah. No.
Anymore. But, you know, you're right. Pizza Popolis, it's something. It's Detroit.
It was one of the original restaurants in Greektown with Pegasus and all that.
It is not at all one of the original Greektown restaurants.
For me, growing up, I'm 46 years old. That's been there as long as everything else has been there.
Mm. I'm 47, but no.
Pizza Papa's been there since I've been 17.
Been there since you were 17. Yeah. But so it to is me, not one of the original
to
restaurants.
To me, that's one of the, you know, that's
know,
been there for.
I know. I just wanted to make, yeah. 30. No, you're right.
I don't feel any shame saying that. Don't look at me like this.
As well as it's been there forever for you. Yeah, totally. All right. So July 31st is the submission deadline. So I'll try to rush and get this out tomorrow just to be safe. So then what's the process after that? What's the timeline? Where do people find out more information and go apply and all that kind of stuff?
So all the information throughout the entire contest from application to end is available on our website, which is hatchdetroit.com. And from the time that you apply, we actually take a lot of time looking through mm-hmm. and reading every single application. I actually go out of town to do it so I can sit in a seclusion room and just read applications and nobody can bother me for anything for an entire week. We then take – there's a group of just three or four of us that reduce down to a certain number, and then we bring that number to a larger group of about 65 people. That group helps us to determine the top 10. The top 10 will be announced on September 27th.
Okay.
And then voting's open right then, and it becomes very public until top four are announced in October, and then we give the final – group after that.
Cool.
So
awesome.
Victoria, always a pleasure seeing you. And we will look forward when the final four come on. You're invited to come back and we will have the bake off as we always do every year.
I would love that.
That would be awesome. That'd be fun. Let's do that. But hey, we're going to wrap things up for episode 300. Yeah, go ahead, Randy.
Before we wrap, I want to just follow up on last week's
guest. We know it's your birthday. You already,
it's my birthday. All right. No, last week's guest, Frank Nemechek, says his book, Roswell Chronicles, will be out at Walmart, available at Walmart.
Walmart.
August 1st.
Frank was here.
Yeah.
I love Frank.
Oh, Frank.
He is the most hyper individual I've ever met in my life. He's a high energy
Frank,
guy.
I'm going to tell him a couple stories about you.
So yeah, go grab two copies of Roswell Chronicles starting Thursday.
You just got to walk into Walmart, but that's cool. Yeah. Congrats, Frank. That's kind of awesome. So hey, we're gonna wrap things up. Episode 308. Like to thank Steve Gore from Blue Chip Talent, Victoria Katansky from Hatch Detroit. Also like to thank NetSuite and Schoolcraft. Thank you for keeping the lights on behalf of a Bob, Dave, and the Birthday Boy. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't gotta go home. You just gotta get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful.
Woo!
Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Bonan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name? Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo, hold up. Time out. Time out. Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.